Ian Gregg with CFIR Radio reporting with assistance from the Local Journalism Initiative Fund. For CFIR Radio, 88.7 FM, The Fur. Wednesday, September 20th, a demonstration known as 1 Million March for Children is taking place as a school walkout at 9 a.m. and a march beginning at 11 a.m. all over the country, but right here in Prince George at City Hall. In attendance will primarily be a group of parents concerned with SOGI educational materials and LGBTQ2S+ presence in the classroom. Counter to this, at 4 p.m. at City Hall, a No Space for Hate counter-demonstration is scheduled to take place, featuring speakers, food, and of course, both events are open to the public. We reached out for comment to the 1 Million March for Children contact email alongside the related Hands Off Our Kids movement, and at the time of original broadcast have yet to receive comment. I intend to include those voices in this reportage as well. First of all, what is SOGI?
So SOGI is the acronym that has been used by school districts to talk about sexual orientation and gender identity, which is part of a curriculum that applies to everyone in public schools and helps create inclusive and safe schools for all identities.
That is the voice of Shona Mitchell-Foster, speaking on behalf of Prince George Physicians Against Hate. Taking the lead on organizing the counter-demonstration, No Space for Hate, is Jean-Michel Baptiste. Why is this an important cause for you?
The counter-demonstration being held on September 20th at 4 p.m. is incredibly important to not only myself as a Northern trans individual who's been, you know, born and raised in the North, who's gone through our education system, who's gone to university, and I'm currently working in Prince George and quite embedded in the Northern community. It's important for everybody to come together and show support for 2S LGBTQ+ youth and support SOGI education. The importance of that is we need everyone in our community should feel safe. The education that is being shared, the work that the schools are doing, it's not controversial. The work that they're doing is to have adequate representation of the students and communities that they serve. Teachers are educating on diversity of families. They are showing an understanding that our traditional ideas of what a Canadian family is has changed over the years. And the education that we present to our youth needs to be adjusted and updated accordingly. The education provided through SOGI 123 is just an accurate representation of our community. And so in my mind, it's not controversial at all that this education material is being presented. In fact, it supports youth in being able to feel safer in their classrooms, in their families, and in amongst their peers.
What resources are available to people in the public, people who want to know more about LGBTQS2+ culture, perhaps what it means for the introduction of, say, a third gender or moving past the gender binary, educational resources that people can safely introduce themselves to these concepts that are fair, balanced, and well-researched?
So there's a ton of resources available for people who are looking at getting to better understand 2S LGBTQ people, as well as understanding the issues that are facing our communities. The one that I would highlight the most is TransCare BC, which is a program run through Provincial Health Services Authority. They have gender 101s. They have education for educators, for physicians, for families. They also have a map that shows all of the peer groups throughout the province, but also specifically the North, where families who have queer youth, also parent groups for parents of LGBTQ+ youth, and also for adults. So they have the ability to find out peer spaces for education, as well as people who might not be as closely located to the community. Other resources are Q-munity, which is a provincial education resource. In the North, there are various groups who do have education opportunities. Foundry has a youth clinic where they're able to support youth and have not only mental health support, but also peer group support, primary care, but also they're connected to many opportunities throughout the North. There is another gender clinic And there's other groups that draw gender outlines. There's the Northern Queer Connection Society, who annually hosts Prince George Pride. There's also the PG Pride Society. So there's definitely quite a few resources that people can access in Prince George, provincially, and throughout the North.
When you were a younger child, did you have access to any of these materials? Were they brought forward to you in your educational experience?
So when I was young, this was during a much different time of the community's understanding of the 2SLGBTQ plus community. And really, I wasn't raised with any adequate information. I think the only trans representation that I would see is on movies. We wouldn't talk about it in schools. We didn't really know how to talk about it in our family. And it was really challenging, I would say, for me as a child, because I knew that I was somehow different and I didn't have the language to identify that. And I didn't have the language to communicate that to my friends and to my family. And it took years for me to understand just where I sat in our world. And I think having access to that level of education information would have made it a lot easier for me to not only understand who I was and communicate it to others, but it would have allowed other people to know how to hold a safe space for people like me to grow into. And I think that is the great opportunities we've seen our understanding and knowledge about the 2SLGBTQ plus community grow immensely, even over the past couple of years. And the reason why it's so important is because all children deserve to grow and to thrive in the community that they live in. We really want to ensure that people aren't leaving the North because they're scared. We don't want people leaving the North because they feel so discriminated against that they don't have a place here. There's a lot of beauty in the North. There's a lot of beauty in Prince George, in our connections and in our resources and in amongst the friends and family that we develop. And it's such a missed opportunity to share that information and make sure that people feel welcome, because all of us coming together to honor the diversity in amongst our community really helps us thrive and to help us move forward. And I think that it is the perfect opportunity to ensure that our kids feel safe here so that they can continue to grow and develop and eventually contribute to this fantastic community that we have here.
Where did you eventually find your community, your safe space when you were growing up?
My safe space when I was growing up actually started in school. So I was part of the first, back then they were called Gay Straight Alliances, which they have very much since changed. Now all the different SOGI groups. My safety started in a SOGI group, which was called a Gay Straight Alliance back in the day. The first Gay Straight Alliance in the North. And how that came about was a teacher supported a bunch of us students who really didn't know how to exist in high school halls. We were kind of clamoring together to figure out who we are. And this teacher recognized us and helped us to provide a space to grow community together. And so, and which is also why having the counter demonstration is so important, because I know how important these groups are, because that was the place that I could first start coming out and I could start exploring my identity and create a community of people who were like me. Prior to that, there was no opportunities.
The counter demonstration happening Wednesday, September 20th at 4 p.m. at City Hall. What is your goal? Is it basically to state that you also exist in this community?
The goal of the counter demonstration is to show that it, and you know, much like you said, it isn't because we're here to protest the protesters. We're not here to be in direct conflict with them. We're here to show our community, to show the 2SLGBTQ plus kids. We're here to show the parents of those 2SLGBTQ plus kids and their families and their schools that we also exist. There might be a group of people who don't believe that our program should exist, that we shouldn't have safe spaces. But there's more of us who believe that they should exist. There's more of us who believe in in the beauty in connection, in the beauty in diversity. And being able to come together helps us to feel stronger. And that visibility is so important because there isn't a space for hate in our schools and in our communities. And really, we're coming together to demonstrate that.
I hope you're not alone in this endeavor. It seems like a big task. Do you have any community partners joining you?
I'm partnering with PG Physicians Against Hate. So this is a joint collaborative effort between the two of us, but we're going to have speakers who are teachers. We have speakers from various organizations in the community. We're also going to have music, and donuts have been donated. So as much as we're going to be coming together on a really serious topic, and of course, knowing that there could potentially be protesters, knowing that this is a really important topic that we need to connect on, this is meant to be family oriented. This is meant to be by the community for the community. So we're hoping to have a really good time when we come out and hope to see everyone there.
Right. So this is also an opportunity for people in the community who are curious about this conversation and simply want to know more by coming out to City Hall, 4 p.m., Wednesday, September 20th. To elaborate a little more on the function of the counter demonstration, we speak again to Shona Mitchell-Foster of Prince George Physicians Against Hate. I would imagine that you are well-versed as a doctor in knowing what gender-affirming care is all about, and I'm wondering if you can clarify kind of what fits under the umbrella of gender-affirming care.
Absolutely. So I am a physician and a surgeon, and we not only stand with the 2SLGBTQI plus community, we also stand with science. And this was a topic that we could not stay silent on. We could not, stay silent in the face of these demonstrations that are organized by anti-trans and hate groups. And part of the reason for that is because we, as physicians, we see in a very one-on-one, face-to-face situation, the sheer impact that this has on youth and folks of all ages who are gender diverse or have different sexual orientations. And we certainly agree that there's a lot of disinformation about gender-affirming in care and what's included in it and what is not included in it. And there's many myths, especially, I think, around young patients. We want to be very clear that gender-affirming care is based on a solid body of reputable medical and ethical research. And some of the things that gender-affirming care includes is gathering information to understand an individual's journey. It would be following the child or youth lead and exploring their freedom to express themselves, which is something completely normal in adolescence. It would also be exploring safe and reversible ways to affirm the person's gender. It might be trying new pronouns or clothing. It may be reversibly pausing puberty with medications. And over time, gender-affirming hormone therapy might be considered, and particularly when the harms of delaying this outweighs the risks of not doing it. It's also important to be very clear about what gender-affirming care does not include. So It does not include any indoctrination or brainwashing. It does not include sexualizing children. It does not include forcing children into accepting a new identity. And it does not include any genital surgery. And this is only considered in adulthood when that person has complete autonomy after a very thorough process, of assessment, and a whole team of healthcare providers. So it's not any single provider that would be doing this.
Understood.
And one of the messages that the PG Physicians Against Hate wants to be very clear about is that gender-affirming care is life-saving. And so this is care that we have so much research and evidence for as far as improving quality of life, decreasing a variety of mental health disorders, including depression, anxiety, and specifically decreasing suicide rates in youth. And so this is about saving lives. And as physicians, we have really a moral imperative to be able to provide this in the same way that we would provide treatment for someone having a heart attack, in the same way we would carefully evaluate a child who may have a ruptured appendix and do diagnostic tests and offer treatment. So this is mainstream medical treatment that is standard of care and would be equivalent to the bodies of research that we have for a whole spectrum of different diseases and illnesses that we treat.
Typically for these events, there are a few guests lined up. Do you have a few people in the community coming forward to support LGBTQ2IAS+ community?
So at the counter demonstration, we are having a few different speakers that we're really excited about. So one of them will be Dr. Ingrid Cossio, who's the lead at the Northern Gender Clinic, who is incredibly well-versed and has a lot of experience specifically in gender-affirming care. So she'll be speaking. The president of the Teachers Association is going to be speaking at the demonstration as well. And John Baptiste will be speaking, who's an outstanding human being, but it's also really the organizer of the demonstration. And John is a two-spirit, non-binary member of the Wet'suwet'en Nation and an incredible activist and an advocate who will be speaking there as well. And there's also going to be music, drummers, Daydream Donuts who will be there as well. And it's really a place where we're really hoping to hold space, to be positive. We want it to be family friendly. And we're very much looking forward to the opportunity to hold space in our community and to be very clear that there is absolutely no space for hate in Prince George and in Northern BC.
What's the nature of the attitude informing this counter demonstration?
So the event that's happening on Wednesday afternoon is a peaceful event that will, again, hold space for the importance of speaking out against these anti-trans hate groups that are really trying to eliminate trans people from our communities. And we are stepping up and saying that this is unacceptable. Because trans folks and queer folks have always existed, and their human rights are inherent to our community. And the protest that's happening in the morning is very much something that is based on values that are being imported to Canada. These are not Canadian values. These are really ultra-conservative right-wing values that are not consistent with who our community is. And we want to acknowledge that. But definitely the emphasis would be on this being a very safe place, a very family-friendly event, and a place where we're really seeing a lot of community members reach out to us. Also, faith-based groups are reaching out and wanting to know how they can participate and contribute as well. And that's a really important part for us as well, knowing that we do come from a diverse community.
The dialogue surrounding the March of a Million is insistent that they are not hate-based and that this is really focused on freedom. Freedom of parents to direct the education of their children and participate in the well-being of their children and what information they're exposed to in the classroom, etc. Is that argument irrelevant?
Well, how I would respond to someone who is trying to spread, anti-trans rhetoric and specifically trying to remove the SOGI curriculum from our education system is, well, first of all, obviously I would give them a donut. But I would want to be very clear that, you know, this type of education is something that's quite transparent. It is age appropriate. It is never something that is pushed onto a child. And I think for any parent who's ever even just tried to get their kid to brush their teeth every night, we are aware that these are not things that, it is difficult to even just change kids' behavior. And there's absolutely no way that we can alter who they are at a deeper level and who they were created to be. And so what I would say to them is that not talking about these issues in schools doesn't make them go away. They're still going to exist, but schools are going to be less safe, and our society is going to be less safe, especially our trans youth, but ultimately schools in general are going to be less safe places. And what the Prince George Physicians Against Hate wants to be very clear about is that our focus is on inclusion. Our focus is on kids having the freedom to be who they were born to be. And there is absolutely no space for hate in our schools, in our healthcare system, in our communities, anywhere in northern BC.
Both demonstrations are described as peaceful. The March for a Million walkout begins at 9 a.m., converges upon City Hall at 11 a.m., while the No Space for Hate counter rally will meet at City Hall at 4 p.m. Wednesday, September 20th. Zia and Greg with CFUR Radio, 88.7 FM, The Fur. This piece was created with support of the LJI Local Journalism Initiative Fund. Find more local journalism stories made by campus and community radio stations across the country, just like this one, at canada-info.ca or visit cfur.ca for our own updates.